Welcome to the Burden and Blessing Podcast, a study and discussion forum on the truth of God's Word. Our CPR series looks at certain topics that come up in life, and we attempt to discuss them in a way that relates to everyone. At times, we bring in the arguments of those opposed to the Word of God in order to practice contending for the faith that God gave His church. It is our prayer that you will be equipped to give a defense for the truths of the Christian faith with humility and respect.
Welcome back to Burden and Blessing. Pastor Rob Sowers here, and I'm joined today by Pastor Nathaniel Mayhew, and we're going to talk about one of those topics that, if you think about it, probably 50 years ago, we'd never have to have a podcast on it, but because of the situation that we see in our world today where church attendance is less and less by different surveys that you see, people who regularly attend church, and by regular attendance, we're talking twice a month, is about one-third of people. So we're going to talk today about the importance of going to church, trying to maybe answer that question, why do we go to church? So, Nathaniel, thanks for joining me today. And so, you know, this is one of those things that, you know, we as pastors kind of deal with all the time. You know, how do we encourage people to attend church more regularly? So maybe let's start by talking about what is that importance of being in church?
Well, when we start talking about church, a lot of people, they don't see what God is really offering to us. We might summarize why do we go to church with answering it because God is giving to us something that we can't get anywhere else there at church. He invites us to come to church so that He can give us His word through which He strengthens our faith. It's there at church that He offers to us His sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper. It's there at church that we come and we confess our sins and we receive His declaration to us that because Christ has died on the cross, our sins are forgiven. And that's something that we need to hear over and over again because we sin over and over again. And finally, it's also there at church that the Lord offers to us through this network of other fellow believers, encouragement and comfort and support through the difficulties that we face in this life that you can't get in worldly friendships. It's a different relationship that you share with those believers that share your faith than you can get anywhere else in the world. And so to answer that question that you ask, why would we go to church? It's because of the gifts, the great blessings that God offers to us so regularly through His word, through His sacrament, through confession and absolution, through the fellowship of believers. And as you take a look at our world today, I think, you know, you pointed out early on in the podcast as we started that 50 years ago, we wouldn't have needed to have this conversation. The reason for that is because everybody just did it. People that were Christians, they went to church. There was no question on Sunday morning, hey, what are we going to do this morning?
Right.
They just went. It was expected. There was no question about what else would you do. But today there are so many things that compete with the Sunday morning worship service, with Bible class, with Sunday school, with catechism on Wednesday afternoon or Wednesday evening, whatever it might be, that now you have families that are they feel that they have to make a choice between the sporting events that are offered to their children or the activities that are there on the weekends and God and His word and the fellowship of fellow believers and the sacraments and all of those things that God offers to us. And a lot of times when we take a look at how we've ever responded to that, we would have to say, I have chosen poorly.
Yeah.
I have not made the best choice. I have not set the best habits in my own life. I have not set the best example for my children by making church attendance, reading our Bibles, studying God's word, joining in fellowship with fellow believers, receiving His sacraments, confessing my sins and receiving God's absolution. I have not made that the priority in my life that God would like me to have. And that's a struggle that we have.
Right. So there are a lot of other, you know, distractions and things like that that we have now on Sundays and Wednesdays, which is sort of still our normal midweek Bible class day. And, you know, of course, we have services during Advent and Lent also that, you know, we see how poorly attended those services are, too, a lot of times. There are a lot of distractions. There are a lot of these things that, you know, I guess we didn't really have to deal with 50 years ago, partly, and that has to do sort of with the secularization of society. But as these things have come in and now challenge this idea about going to church, one of the responses that I see a lot as people have started to think about this is, well, why do I really need it? I mean, I can read my Bible at home. You know, as far as fellowship, you know, I have friends who are Christians and we go out and we can sort of talk about things sometimes, you know, so do I really need to be in church? And what about for those people who are, you know, who are spiritual but not religious? What is that all about?
Well, first of all, the whole idea, and you hear that more and more today too, that, you know, I don't have to go to church. I'm spiritual. And what they mean by that is I understand that God exists and I have this spiritual relationship with him in my home, or as I'm out and about in my world, I have this connection with God, but I'm not religious. In other words, I don't have a tie to a specific a church building or a group of people or a denomination or whatever it might be. And that's really a cop out, because there is no such thing as spiritual without religiosity.
Right.
And as you take a look both at the Old and the New Testament, you see that God through his people always emphasized that relationship with him through the group of believers that he had established. You know, in the Old Testament, the center of worship for God's people in the Old Testament was at the tabernacle to begin with, and then later on in the temple. And the people would come together at that location. They would bring their sacrifices. They would carry out their worship. They would receive God's declaration of the forgiveness of their sins, having made confession of them. They would have these spiritual rituals that would take place. There would be the fellowship among those believers as they sang their hymns of praise and the Psalms. And the same thing is true in the New Testament. Even after the resurrection of Jesus and the ascension of Jesus into heaven, the New Testament believers continued that practice of gathering together. Acts tells us the believers continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayer. They understood how important it was to gather together in a religious environment with this group of people to carry out these customs that God had given to his church, because they understood that God imparted blessings through that religious setting. And so this idea of I'm connected with God out in nature, this is really a New Age philosophy that fizzles over time and doesn't impart any blessing or comfort at all. And so the question is, as we face these struggles of life, you can say I'm spiritual, I'm not religious, but what are you actually getting out of that? God is not imparting blessings to you through this supposed spiritual connection to him apart from his word and his sacraments, from fellowship with fellow believers and from confession and absolution. You know, God wants to give us those blessings, but they come through these physical relationships and through the reading, the hearing, and the participating in his sacraments, of his word and sacraments.
Yeah, our Lord tells us in Matthew 18:20, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. And you know, you think about that, you know, we have that promise that when we gather for worship together, that we have the Lord present with us. And, you know, to not make use of that, I guess the way I grew up, you know, it just sort of seems unthinkable to, you know, kind of pass up on that blessing.
Right.
And yet, I have to admit that there have been times in my life when I haven't really felt like going. I mean, I've gone to church, but I haven't really felt like it. It seemed boring, or it seemed like it just wasn't relevant to my life. So what would you say to people who kind of bring up those sorts of thoughts? Like, well, I'd go, but it just seems like a waste of time. It just doesn't seem like it really applies to what I'm going through right now.
Well, that's a really good question. And I think it's a question that a lot of people wrestle with in their own lives. And one of the illustrations that I've used, I think, might help in this conversation. And that's the whole picture of eating food. You know, we get up in the morning, we eat breakfast, we skip a couple of hours. Maybe we don't. Maybe we have a snack somewhere along the way in the morning. We eat lunch. We probably get another snack in the afternoon. Then we eat supper, probably another snack before we go to bed again in the evening. You know, so we're constantly feeding our Bibles throughout, feeding our bodies throughout the day. And if you were to stop eating one day, you know, your stomach would growl and you'd probably feel hungry for a while. But we see examples of people who starve, and after a while, their body stops telling them that they're starving to death. They don't feel any different, you know, than they would if they were healthy, they think. And the same thing is true when it comes to our spiritual relationship with God, that a lot of times when we separate ourselves from God, when we are not feeding ourselves with the truth of God's word, that spiritual diet, that banquet that he offers to us through his word and sacraments, at first we might recognize it. We might say, you know, I don't feel as good today. But when we ignore that and we continue in that pattern of either spiritually malnutrition, you know, getting away from God's word or not giving ourselves as much as we need, or simply starving ourselves altogether from a complete separation from God's word, our spiritual lives are – it's shrinking on the inside. Our relationship with God is growing weaker. Our faith and our confidence in him is not what it has been in the past. And over time, just like that person who starves himself of food, sooner or later that person is going to die. Now, we may not die physically because we don't go to church.
Right.
But we are dying a little bit spiritually every day when we are not going back to God's word and feeding on the truth of his word, receiving his sacrament through the forgiveness of sins that he offers to us, and the assurance that, yes, your sins are forgiven through his absolution. And another pastor once used an illustration of a, you know, if you think about in your backyard, you've got a big fire going, a bonfire in the backyard, and you take one of those pieces of wood that have been in the fire, and it's bright red and it's glowing, and you take it with a fork and you take it out of the fire and you set it down in the ground. Well, it's going to burn strong for a while, but it's going to slowly grow dim, isn't it? It's going to die out because it doesn't feed off of the rest of those hot coals in the fire.
Right.
And so now, you know, after an hour or so, that coal has gone dead. It's cold. And all it is a big chunk of black soot. Now, if you take that coal and you put it back inside the fire, it's going to spark back up again and it's going to relight. It's going to ignite again. And the same thing is true of us spiritually, that if we separate ourselves from God's word, we're going to die out. And what God wants to do is he wants to connect us back to his word again so that we are comforted, that we are ignited by his word. We receive that comfort and assurance of the through the troubles that we face in this life, the encouragement of our fellow believers. And so we are warm and living once again. So there's a couple of illustrations of kind of what happens to us spiritually. We don't see it on the outside. Mm-hmm. But that's exactly what's taking place on the inside. Faith is not a static thing. It's something that is either growing or it is dying.
Right. Yep.
And if you are not feeding your faith through the word, I can guarantee you that faith is dying, that you are not as well equipped to handle the troubles of this life, that you are not as well prepared to answer the questions or concerns that friends or family members may have regarding who God is and what God has done for us. And that's why attendance at Sunday school for our children, Bible class for adults, regular attendance at worship services, and any other opportunities for fellowship and for studying God's word is of vital importance in our lives, that we might be prepared as the Lord feeds and nourishes us spiritually as we wait for his return.
So it sounds kind of like what you're talking about here. It's maybe, you know, if we're not attending church, it's more of a symptom of a bigger problem. And it's not so much solved by just being in the building, but really this whole discussion about going to church and why it's important, it's really about what our attitude is toward God and his word, isn't it?
It is. You know, one of my favorite passages, Rob, and you know, you and I, we've both been in those situations. You mentioned it earlier. We don't always feel like this, but one of my favorite passages is Psalm 122, where David says, "I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord." You know, earlier you mentioned that sometimes we don't feel like we're getting anything out of the service, or it's not practical, or it's not relevant to my life, or, you know, who cares about those people of the Old Testament and what their names were and what they did. Mm-hmm. And yet God tells us that through his word, he gives life. He tells us that his word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path, that the history that he lays out for us in his word, both in the Old and the New Testament, is for an example for us in our own lives, that we may apply the lessons that were learned by our fellow believers in previous centuries to our own lives and learn from them and see the mistakes that they made and hopefully not make those same mistakes again. But it is an attitude of the heart, isn't it? That it should be something that we are glad to do, that we understand how great God's blessings are to us in and through these means. And I think that's really what we need to do as pastors and as Christians. We need to not fix the problem by saying, hey, you need to be in church on Sunday. I don't know how many times I've heard people tell me that when they stopped going to church, they heard from their church, you know, a year down the road, and they sent them a letter. They didn't come and knock on the door. They didn't call them. They said, hey, we haven't seen you in church for a while. Will you please send your tithe in? And you know, that was not at all a warm, fuzzy feeling for these people anymore. They said, they don't care about me. All they care about is my money.
Right.
And how many times have you heard that? All the church ever cares about is the money.
Sure.
And that goes to that whole idea of being spiritual as opposed to religious. The church is just a money-making scheme. Well, we want to make it very clear that as pastors, as Christians, the reason that we're discussing this issue is not because of money, but it's because of a spiritual concern that we have for these people, that because they are separating themselves from the gifts that God offers to us, they have placed themselves in spiritual harm. And as pastors and Christians, we need to probably do a better job of encouraging people to go to church by emphasizing what it is that God is offering to us on Sunday morning in Bible class, in the worship service, on Wednesday evening at that Bible study that you have, or the women's meeting or the men's meeting, any of those situations, wherever God's word and sacrament is to be found, God is offering us blessings that we cannot find anywhere else in this life. And
right,
those blessings make all of the other glitter and gold that the world offers to us as a substitute pale in comparison to what God offers to us as his children.
Yeah, it really is true. You know, there's nothing that compares to God's means of grace through his word and his sacraments. There's nothing that compares to that fellowship that we have with other Christians. You know, I can't tell you how many times I've been lifted up by just being around people in the church. And, you know, somebody might say, well, you know, I don't need that time and fellowship. I'm just fine by myself, you know, just me and my Bible, and that's fine. And maybe you don't need, you know, especially help right this moment, but maybe the Lord wants to use you to be a blessing to somebody else too. So that fellowship is, you benefit from that blessing of having other Christians around you, but you can also be the one who allows someone else to benefit from the Lord using you to encourage them. So, you know, what a wonderful thing we have in fellowship there. And then, of course, the means of grace. I mean, I think we just forget about what a wonderful gift the Lord's Supper is, where we receive the Lord's actual body and blood, where we, you know, receive that assurance of our forgiveness of sins, where we see in a very real way the Lord's physical presence with us. It's, you can't get that anywhere else. And Right. Yeah, it's, you know, the things of church really are things that you can't get anywhere else and that have answers that this world simply doesn't have to give us.
Right. Yeah, you know, early on you talked about that importance of that mutual encouragement.
Yeah.
You know, and we've talked with people about this in the past, and we might have friends that say, well, you know, I'm just not, they have a bad run-in or a bad relationship that develops with a fellow member at church, and they say, well, you know, I don't need that kind of thing. I don't want to go there in order to just, you know, get upset because of this particular situation. And as you pointed out, a lot of times it's not what you need, but what somebody else needs.
Yeah.
And Paul in Colossians says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Throughout the Old and the New Testament, we talk about encouraging, exhorting one another. It's not just about what you need, but what about what you can offer to someone else. You know, go to church in order to encourage someone else in their walk of faith, to comfort them because of the experiences that you've had in life. The Lord, He gives us those rich blessings, like you pointed out, in His Word, in His sacraments, in confession and absolution. But there are also rich blessings that we dare not lose sight of through the fellowship that He gives to us with like-minded believers. And that's something that you can't get out in the world either.
Very true. Again, you know, when you're out in the world and, you know, if you're going to start asking, you know, some people, hey, you know, how do I deal with this or how do I deal with that? You're going to get any sort of variety of answers, you know, any sort of probably a variety of worldly answers. But, you know, what a comfort it is to have that Christian fellowship where you know that you can go to your brother or sister in Christ and they're going to give you that encouragement from God's word. And again, you have that opportunity to share that word with your fellow Christians there too. It's something that's often overlooked, I think. But such a blessing to be involved in a church. So one more question I kind of want to ask here, as we kind of look to wrap up. How often is often enough to go to church? Like what is regular attendance, and are there ever reasons why we can miss church on a Sunday?
Do you really want to know the answer to that question?
It is
a really good question. And let me before I give you the answer to that question, let me tell you that the question probably isn't always coming from the best place. So a lot of times when somebody asks that question, how often do I have to go to church, you know, in order to be a Christian? It goes back to that point that we talked about earlier, that it's not coming from a right place in the heart, is it?
Right.
You know, the book of Acts, as we talked about earlier, they continued, the apostles, the fellow believers of Jesus after his ascension, they continued daily in the temple.
Right.
And so we're not talking about, well, you know, if you go to church twice a month, you know, you're okay. Actually, 4-5 times a month isn't often enough to be in God's word. Again, I want to go back to the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, the very first psalm of the book of Psalms, David says, but the believer's delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. So the question, how often do I have to go to church, isn't really the right question to be asking, because you can go to church 4 or 5 times a week and still not be in the right spot that God wants you to be in if you're not going for the right reasons. God wants to build in us a desire to know his word, to receive the comfort that he offers to us in his word through his sacraments. And when we abide in Jesus, Jesus tells us, then our faith is encouraged. In John 15, he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. Having a relationship with Jesus doesn't mean not going to church, never reading his reading the Bible, never receiving the sacraments, but just thinking that he's out there.
Right.
Having a relationship or abiding in Jesus has to do with abiding in the word that he has given to us for the salvation of our souls. And when we abide in his word, not just on Sunday morning in Sunday school and Bible class and church, but daily in our lives through family devotions, through our reading of his word in the morning, in the evening, then we can be assured that the Lord will strengthen us as his children, that we will bear much fruit, knowing that we can't do that apart from him. So we go back again to the psalmist who says, this is my delight. My delight is to be around the Lord, to be near his word, to hear it, to read it, to study it, to meditate on it, to receive the assurance of the forgiveness of my sins that are so real and often every day. The Lord comes to us and says, Nathaniel Mayhew, your sins have been taken away through the death of Jesus on the cross, through the reception of his body and blood broken and shed for you, your sins are removed once and for all. You have the assurance of eternal life. I need that. I need that assurance daily because I'm a sinner daily. And whenever we get to the point where we think, well, you know, I don't need that, then we need to reflect back on, am I a sinner? Mm-hmm. Because if I'm not a sinner, then, oh, okay, I can understand why I don't need to be assured of the forgiveness of my sins. But if we don't think we need the forgiveness of sins, then we need to go back and say, Lord, I realize just how much I have failed you this day as a father, as a husband, as a pastor, as whatever my office or vocation in life is, and I need your forgiveness. And that drives us back to those blessings and that comfort that he offers to us through his word and sacrament.
So that question then really of, you know, how often do I have to go is really kind of the wrong question to ask. It's really, and again, I mentioned this before, but it's about your whole attitude toward God and his word.
Right.
And hopefully the question that you're asking is, how often do I get to go
right.
and worship my Lord?
Why can't I go more often?
Right. Why do we have a service every day?
The better question, you know, as a pastor, what I would like to hear is, Pastor, why don't you have more Bible studies during the week? Pastor, you know, why aren't there more opportunities for us to get to know his word? Do you have other resources that I can use with my family devotions for my family, you know, or individual prayer life? Those are the things that demonstrate that a person is longing for those blessings that God offers to us through his word.
Yes, absolutely. So then what about those times, and this is kind of connected to that. So what about when there are those times, though, when we have to miss a Sunday? And, you know, obviously there are those times of sickness, and that's, you know, that's a pretty obvious reason to miss. But what about those times that we're traveling? Or what about for people who have to work on Sundays? Just some thoughts maybe on those sorts of situations?
Sure. Well, let's each one of those situations is just a little bit different. But if a person is sick, you know, the Bible tells us, call upon the elders of the church. Let them pray over you. You know, talk to your pastor. If you're sick and not able to get to church on Sunday morning, especially if it's an ongoing nature, you know, mm-hmm. call the pastor up and say, Pastor, would you come over and have a devotion with me? Would you bring me the Lord's Supper? Your pastor is going to be willing. Your pastor wants to do that for you. And many times they're just waiting for you to say, I would like to have that. I would love to have this blessing. Can you come to my home and bring this to me? Or can I meet you at church sometime during this week so that I can receive his word and sacrament? Your pastor wants to do that. If you're away on vacation, take the word of God with you. We don't want to give our children or get in the habit of thinking, you know, Sunday is not really all that important. This vacation is more important. if you have to be gone on a Sunday for vacation, what I try to do is I try to tell my children, we aren't going to be able to make it to a church service today because we're out in the middle of nowhere. There are no churches that are close by, but we are still going to take time for our Lord and Savior, and we're going to still take time to hear His word of comfort to us. And so we have our own family church service, and I'm not talking about a 2-minute devotion. We're going to sing some hymns. We're going to say some prayers. We're going to have confession and absolution. We're going to hear from God's word, just like we would in church. And through that, God is going to encourage, strengthen our faith, and build us up. And the same thing for the person who has to go to work. If they cannot be there on Sunday morning, again, either ask the pastor to come during the week, watch that service that may be on the church website or on YouTube, take time in your family devotions, reading God's word, encouraging, being encouraged through God's word. But at some point, a person has to ask themselves too, have these things in the world, whether it be my job, these sporting events, my recreation time, has that become more of a priority for me than these blessings that God offers to me through His word and sacrament? And, you know, I can't answer that for anybody that's out there. We have to all take a look at that, what's going on in our heart. But it's a good question for us to ask, are these things more important than the blessings that God offers to us through His word? David says regarding the law of the Lord and his testimony, his precepts, he says, these are more desirable than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. And that's what the Lord wants us to see and to desire in His word and His sacraments, through the realization that we need Him. We need His love. We need His word of encouragement and consolation. And may He drive us back to that truth and to the realization of just what it is that He is offering to us through worship, with the fellowship of believers, through His word, and through His sacrament.
Yeah, that's a very good point and a very good way to kind of close our discussion. I think it's you know, again, it's all back to that attitude of, you know, what's the most important thing in our lives, and but realizing that you know, our Lord has these blessings that he wants to give to us, and He has blessed us with that opportunity to worship with fellow believers in the church, to be fed with His word, to receive His means of grace there. What a wonderful blessing it is. And, you know, may the Lord motivate us to not think of, you know, how often do I have to go, or, you know, things like that. But wow, what a wonderful opportunity this is that I get to go to church. So, I want to thank you all for listening today, and I hope that this has been an encouragement to you in your own worship. And, you know, for most of you listening to this podcast, I'm sure that many of you are regular church attenders. But so if that's the case for you, hopefully this will help you with maybe some ideas when you're talking to those who maybe don't attend church as often, to maybe encourage them. And of course, if you're sometimes asking some of those questions yourself about, you know, maybe why is this relevant to my life and things like that, hopefully this has been an encouragement to you to see how much our Lord offers us in the church. So we'd invite you to join us again on Burden and Blessing. May the Lord bless and keep you.
We hope that you will join us next week for another episode of Burden and Blessing Podcast. Our goal is always to bring you the whole counsel of God. Until next time, go in the strength of the Lord and preach the word.